station.
ESPN
97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? At least we're not Matt Patricia. As we're all present and accounted for on a Tuesday after a doubleheader Monday night football and all kinds of fun stuff to get to. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. As the usual suspects get ready to go, and we appreciate you coming along for the ride. Fellas, what's up?
What to do?
How's it going?
Wow.
Are you okay, sir?
what?
Brian Adams get you too mushy to do the radio show today? Or?
No. You guys, I know y'all always want me to be like super excited and pumped up, but sometimes, you know, you...
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like you do. Maybe I mean, know.
I'd rather you be pumped, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. I was up late. It was a long night.
Video games?
Fortnite?
No. Football.
Yeah, that last game ended. Didn't end until what? Midnight, 12:30?
I don't know, because I woke up on the couch and went, oh, it's over. What happened?
Talk about a tale of two halves, too. I mean, Raiders up, what, 13-10 at the half and then 23 straight points, and it's like, boom, see you, bye.
Yep. So, yeah, it was a long night.
A good week for any. I heard on the broadcast leading up to the Raiders game that all the new coaches.
0-7.
0-6. Yeah. Leading up to the Gruden match with the Raiders, and he lost too.
I tell you what, man. Hey, did you all watch the game? At least the beginning of it?
Uh-huh.
Man, that first drive, you were like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Beast mode is into it. John Gruden is into it.
Yeah, Gruden's on the field.
And the broadcast felt that way, too.
Yeah, and then that didn't hold up for very long. The Rams are pretty good at football.
I was tweeting beast mode and everything.
The whole thing is Jared Skittles. Goff. If Goff just keeps them in it and doesn't hurt them, they got, with that defense and the skill positions, they're pretty solid.
I want to say something. Maybe I should save it. That's not probably opening segment material. But I really feel like there's a team that's probably going to win it all, even though we've done our picks, and none of us pick them. But when you consider the well-roundedness of this team, if they stay healthy, I think they'll dominate the NFL this year.
Well, I mean, look, I've already...
Do you want to guess who it might be?
Minnesota.
Who I'm thinking? Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Dude, if I Minnesota, when you look at offensively, I mean, we all know best defense in the NFL by far. But offensively, if Cook stays healthy,
that's the big
Diggs. I mean, Kirk Cousins is playing out of his mind. They're so well rounded. I'm not saying that they're the best offense in the NFL, but they're good enough that I think that they could dominate. And
Adam
and it won't
Thielen.
Surprise me.
I mean, look, the bottom line is
Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, like, if I had to put
every
money,
skill position, they're loaded.
I got yahoos that are like, you pick the Packers to win the Super Bowl. Well, okay, well, I'm not putting any money on it. If I had, you know, gun to head, or you wanted me to put money down on a team to win the NFC, in my mind, it comes down to the Vikings versus the Rams. And of the two quarterbacks, say what you will, but I'll take Cousins right now over Goff. So therefore, I would say that the Vikings are the team that that should go to the Super Bowl.
It's I tell you, I was, you didn't know what you were going to get, I think, from Kirk Cousins, and in week one, and I don't want to be overreactionary, but I think it's safe to say that offensively with Diggs and Rudolph, and just they're loaded, man. That's a good, they've got a good offensive
Dalvin
line.
Dalvin Cook's the key.
Yep.
Because before he got hurt, he looked spectacular and gave them a dimension that they haven't had in quite some time since Adrian Peterson was in his heyday. And you look at, like you said, I mean, Kyle Rudolph is an above-average tight end. And then those two receivers, you talk about two receivers on the same squad. Atlanta may be the only team that can compete with that. But Adam Thielen and Diggs?
Yeah. Woo. That's what I'm saying, man. At every skill position, they have a guy that could be top five at least.
So when they lose at Lambeau,
maybe not
this
quarterback.
Weekend,
I mean,
just remember that.
No, I actually. In fact, I already sent my pick to AJ. I saw that game is a pick'em.
So if you send it in right now, it counts.
It's done. It's
at
a pick'em.
That spread.
I sent it in as a pick'em, and I picked Minnesota. Yep. Because I have a feeling in a couple of days, especially if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing or he's not 100% healthy, that line's going to move. Minnesota's going to have to give up some points even on the road.
I can see that.
Yeah. So I jumped all
Nick,
over that.
Nick, you too, right? You'll be all over it?
All over it. All over what? I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. I was tweeting.
Picks.
I was just talking about that. I already sent in my NFL pick for the week.
Oh, yeah, because it's close. Because
it's a pick'em.
Because I know Raheel was complaining about how you can't adjust the line. So as long as you submit the line right now, it doesn't matter if the line changes later, right?
Right. Yeah. And right now, it's a pick'em. So you can take Minnesota and not have to give up any points.
But if it's a tie, it counts.
Whatever.
I didn't say which way it goes. I just said if it's a tie, it counts.
Why are you trying to pile on what AJ started?
I didn't
started?
Say anything. I just said if it's a tie, it counts.
AJ started this. Let them make fun
you yesterday
on the afternoon show. Don't do this on this show.
Oh, really? Yeah, because we don't pick on each other on this show.
Never.
You didn't pick on me all day yesterday on this show. No, we don't do that here.
What did I say?
About what?
Oh, my God. Are you serious right now?
I don't
now?
Remember picking on you at all.
About my phone, about the Aggies, about my clothes.
Forever 21.
Yeah, well, I said clothes. Yeah. Where would you like me to begin?
I don't remember what I say a show ago. I don't remember that stuff.
I do because I wasn't able to sleep.
It wasn't your best day yesterday.
The good news is nothing's recorded, so you can never go back and check it either.
Oh yeah, you were killing me yesterday. Just know that your day is coming. I will retaliate.
Well, you've got today and you've got tomorrow.
And then he's gone.
And then Nick Shernarnar is in Vegas.
I am.
Did you get him to fix your credentials?
I hope so. That was kind of what Brenda was trying to do.
Oh,
she's
really?
She's usually pretty cool about that. Yeah.
Will you wear them to a club or bar so that you can get chicks to swarm to you? Or will
no,
that
I just show them
without
to bouncers
the credential?
In hopes of them letting me in for free or skipping lines.
Got it.
That's the only thing I do.
Yep. It's a big weekend.
Well, this weekend?
Great to go to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
You can bet Canelo, on football.
Triple G, yep.
Yeah,
you can, guys into it? You watching it?
You could bet football.
Well, I think you might be watching it. I don't know about Joel.
I'm not paying for it.
I probably won't watch it.
Let me put it that way.
If I'm out at a sports bar, I'll watch it, but I'm not paying for it. I gave up on boxing a long time ago. And I know that it's a big money fight and all that, and that's great. But boxing lost me a long time ago.
Yeah. For me, I think obviously a part of the excitement is because I'm actually going there.
Of course.
But with Canelo, I think the biggest issue, and I've said this before, is that it's unfortunate that he doesn't do a lot of media in English. From what I understand, he speaks a little English, but if he can be entertaining, you really need the best guys in boxing or in any combat sports to have a personality, unfortunately. Yeah. And you're not really seeing that right now. I mean, people are still talking about Floyd and Connor.
Oh,
guys
yeah.
in his
40s. Did you see there was a new one, Connor and... It wasn't Canelo. Who was it? I saw something where they had Connor. Supposedly, there was another fight in the mix with him and a boxer. Another boxer.
Oh, I thought he was just trying to reignite the little beef with Floyd so he can get another Floyd fight. That's what I thought he was doing. Because he knows he's already set for Khabib, especially in the event that he loses. Why not take another a fight?
A lot of people expect him to lose to Khabib, right?
Yeah, a lot of people are. Not everybody, but a lot of people are.
Yeah, I think. I mean,
I picked Khabib.
I mean, yeah, I did too. Did you see where Michael Chiesa is suing Conor McGregor now
for
emotional distress because he got his face cut when McGregor threw the dolly through the bus?
Conor McGregor's going to have a field day with that.
And we talked about this, and remember, we said that Dana White's going to use this to his advantage. And what did you see during the promos of UFC 228?
The bus.
The whole bus incident was how they're selling this fight. They're not dummies. He acted like Conor McGregor was never going to be back in the UFC as bad as this was and how horrible this was, but he didn't mind using that footage to sell the fight.
Well, wasn't it? And one of the female boxers is going through...
Rose Namajunas?
Yes.
Yeah.
That she's traumatized by...
Oh, yeah, Rose. Yeah, she was
the
one on the bus as well.
Yeah.
I don't know about that whole traumatized thing. I just...
That's not cool, man. You're sitting in a bus, something's getting thrown at it. Glasses being shattered, people are getting cut up. I mean,
but traumatized. Like,
I would agree.
Well,
yeah.
Now you can't ride buses anymore.
No, but you can still say that you're traumatized. I think that's
you say that because you want to get money.
You can have bad dreams.
Oh my God! I just don't believe. I don't know.
You don't think you're traumatized if someone tried to attack you? You didn't know who was coming at you. and you're sitting in a bus.
Or if it's you and a chair, who are they targeting?
A dolly's being thrown at a bus and it shatters it. People are getting hurt and
cut
up.
Would it freak me out when it happened? Absolutely. Traumatized to the point where I need millions of dollars to feel okay? No, that's just a cash grab.
Where did the money come? I didn't hear that.
I agree with that part. I think it's safe to say that you're traumatized.
There's a difference between being traumatized and freaked out at the time.
Did she say she needs money?
I don't know. I'm just talking about Michael Chiesa.
No, he was talking about Michael
Chiesa. He's suing for money. And he's filed a lawsuit against Conor McGregor. I wish I could see the amount.
You're talking about a guy that's making probably in the ballpark of, what, $20,000 to $80,000 a fight versus someone like Conor McGregor?
Sure.
Who's making multi-million, you know, he has a multi-million dollar contract. Yeah, he is probably trying to.
Chiesa claims he suffered, quote, severe emotional distress, mental trauma and or bodily harm as a result of assault, battery, and intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Yeah. He should probably
just... He's a fighter, by
the way. Make him whole. Yeah, make him whole and pay for the medical damages. That's probably fair enough.
I mean, that's different if you want to say, hey, I wasn't able to fight. You owe me that money. You owe me this. You owe me that. But, I mean, come on, dude. You're a fighter. Supposedly, fighters are some of the most mentally tough dudes on this planet, right? I mean, one would think.
Yeah. You'd have to
because
be mentally
of the training
tough.
And the weight cut. I mean, but trust me, I've been around these
guys. Well, and you're a solo, too. You've got no one else to lean on.
Well, you've got your coaches in your corner.
But still, when you are out there.
I just feel like this is a cash grab on Michael Chiesa's part. It's kind of chicken bleep, in my opinion.
I'm kind of with you on the cash grab part.
I mean, really? Now you can't ride buses anymore? Is that what you're telling the course? Like, every time I get on a bus, I just have flashbacks. No, you don't.
He can't ride any more buses. He needs to fly private.
Every time I can't even move because if they bring out a dolly, I freak out. Like, no, what? Stop it. Get out of here. Rose, maybe. I could see that possibly. I don't know. Maybe not because she's female. Maybe it is because she's female. I don't know. But
Rose has had a really tough life as well. So she's no stranger to... Like terrible adversity
issues. Yeah. She's cool too, man. She's her boyfriend, Pat Barry. Yeah, they did a seminar down in Sugarland, and I mean, he's a nice guy. She's kind of strange, but she was real nice. But this was back well before she was even in the UFC. But
she is nice though.
But she's kind of strange, so I could see where she's like, yeah, mentally it messed me up. Maybe I could see that a little bit.
Clayton says on Twitter, Barry traumatizes me every day, 1 to 4, but nonetheless, I keep going.
See, I.
He's not in a good mood, people.
I know he's joking, but yet and still, I just want to tell him to change the channel.
Why? If you know he's joking, why would you tell him that? Why?
I don't know.
Be nice today.
Okay, I'll try.
I'll be nice to you.
Don't start, Nick. Don't do that. He's good when he's salty. We both.
I was rude to Barry yesterday.
You want
to
talk about?
I should probably be rude to Joel.
Yeah, you totally should. We both should. You want to talk? You want to talk about somebody that was salty yesterday? Did y'all hear Fred?
No.
Meow. Kitty had claws.
Why? On the air? What do you say?
I don't know. I think you wish somebody dead. No, that's not true.
Was it me?
No.
What was he mad
about?
No,
but somebody was texting, and he was like, he was getting salty. I don't remember exactly what he said, but even AJ was like, ooh, be nice. If AJ tells you to be nice.
AJ has no right to tell anybody to be nice.
I know, right?
Zero right.
Yeah, he was salty yesterday. So
Got to his phone or a text on the text line?
I think it was a text on the text line. Yeah, and I don't think anybody texted him during the show.
Oh, well, I wish I had... people that were that considerate. My phone still buzzes all the time. All right, we're just getting started. HR&P listener line is the place to be if you want to get in on the show. 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, you can reach us via Twitter, where it is at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is Funny. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people at Gallery Furniture. You know how Mattress Mac does it. He's a staple in this community. He's always there for you. That means in a natural disaster or when things are going wrong in the city, he's trying to help. But also when you need furniture, he has 3 locations to better serve you across Houston. He's got Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. He's got the main showroom at I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. And, of course, he's got the Galleria across from Dillard's on Post Oak. Regardless of which of the 3 locations you hit up, you're going to get the same deals, the same customer service, and everything that he says is everything they're going to do. That means if you buy it today, you're going to get it tonight within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. You're going to get the furniture delivered to your house. When the delivery guys are there, they'll take out and get rid of furniture you don't want, rearrange furniture you want in another room, and take care of things because they want you to remember the experience positively. On that same point, They're also going to make sure that when you buy furniture from them, that you get the lowest prices possible, but you get solid wood quality American furniture that's going to last. It's American made from brands like Stickley, Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic. All brands that are top quality that aren't going to peter out in a couple of months. They're going to be with you for a long period of time. And there's no back order slips. You buy it on the showroom floor, guaranteed that that furniture is going to be available and delivered to you within 3 to 4 hours. And what Max says is always what he does on every commercial and every time he does anything out in the public, he tells you, and he tells you like it is, Gallery really will save you money.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. It's The Usual Suspects on a suspect weather-wise looking Tuesday in the big city. Barry, Nick, Joel here. Nick for one more day and then gone to Vegas, where Barry has already created a celebration of sorts for the rest of the week.
Has he?
Just so that Nick's not with us.
Have you?
No, I have not. I never celebrate your departure, Nicholas. I would never do that. We got some texts.
Okay. See how you rolled into that.
Yeah. Ryan Clark made a pretty good argument. Maybe Watson should make his own decisions on plays instead of listening to Bill O'Brien, trying to stay in the pocket looking for receivers. I heard that driving in, listening to Charlie. I guess they had some audio about that. I wasn't aware that he had said that. I don't know. I mean, I think you just let the kid play. You went out and got him and his specific skill set for a reason. If you're going to try to change a mobile quarterback into being a pocket passer, then you probably are going to have a problem.
Bill O'Brien's a control freak, too. You think that's going to fly? I mean, I understand that Rodgers does it a lot with McCarthy, but he's earned that respect and the ability to do that. Peyton Manning used to do the same thing because of the fact that he's proven over time. And also, the coaches realize that I'm better off when Peyton's happy with me than not, because if Peyton's mad at me, I'm going first.
I saw Derek Carr do it quite a bit. How long has he been in the league?
Well, he looked stellar on that pick that he threw in the set. Oh, my
God. But, I mean, in terms of changing plays and audibles and stuff like that, I feel like they give him a little they give him a little leeway, and he's only, you know, he's a young quarterback.
Yeah. So, I think you just have to trust Watson and his skill set and the reason you went and got him. You moved up. You mortgaged the future to go and get this kid. To try to change him at this point would be stupid.
Right.
Yep. So I agree with you, man.
Barry, do you treat your yard with anything to help with mosquitoes? Boy. I don't really know a lot about that, to be honest with you. I mean, there You shut your mouth. There is some stuff out there, but I don't know what it is.
Wait till they get in the larval stages before you attack the problem. Don't let it when they get full-blown hatched, because that can be a lot of issues. Nick, I'm talking now. This is my forte.
Yeah.
I'm getting into this.
Let him do his thing. I understand.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we're just remember this, Nick, when you're taking your sawdust and trying to make it into grass and things. If the mosquitoes are in the larval stages, you can still kill them. But if they get full-blown hatched, you've got problems on your hands that you're not going to be able to control.
Do you recommend bifenthrin IT?
No, I think it's excessive, and the chemicals can also do things to Nick's dog that he doesn't want because he needs his dog around. So therefore, I think he needs to prepare a little bit more diligently on the front side of it than worried about when they hatch on the back.
Good, yes.
4 o'clock tomorrow cannot come.
Those were a lot of words that said absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's not true.
I like how Barry can quantify how someone should feel after a gang attack. Such a tough guy. You obviously don't know bleep about trauma. Oh, did I traumatize you with my words? Oh, I'm so sorry. You're so upset right now. Are you traumatized by my words, sir or ma'am? Oh. Weirdo.
Wow. Barry's back, Nick.
Oh, my God. Just really, get a life, dude. We're just talking here. Idiot. In honor of 9/11, do each of y'all remember what y'all were doing when you heard the news of the World Trade Center
attacks? I feel like everybody does.
I do.
I certainly do. Where were you?
I was in bed.
Okay.
I was just getting up for work, and I got a call from a friend of mine that said, you better put the TV on right now because the towers are being attacked. And I was like, the radio station? We got a game tonight. We can't be doing that. Who's attacking the towers? They're like, no. The World Trade Center towers. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And then said an expletive and then put the TV on and then just sat there at the foot of my bed, just jaw dropped going, what the hell is going on?
Do you remember where you were, Nick?
Yeah, I was on the way to class. I was a freshman in college. And then they canceled class and sent me back home.
I was working at a company called Anadarko, and we had just moved into our first house. And I remember because I was leaning on a box full of junk watching the TV because it was one of the only things that was set up in the house at the time was the TV. And I remember them talking about it, and they weren't really sure yet if it was an attack or maybe an accident. And then I went to work. I went to Anadarko, and they actually evacuated us because they weren't sure who was a target. And since Anadarko is an oil company, they didn't know what was going on. So they just sent everybody home in case there was an attack on the building. And I think I just remember thinking, how can this, you know, how does nobody know what's going on? I remember that for a while thinking, it's weird. It's a helpless feeling to think that, man, something's happening and no one knows what or why. That was really weird.
There was so much lack of information at that point. No one really knew. All you could do is kind of watch the disaster unfold from your television set and not really know, what else could happen or who's causing this. And I think the fact that one, you know, the World Trade Center got hit and then it followed up with two other places, that obviously probably was, you know, a part of the reason why they said, you know, let's just send everybody home. Yeah. Because
it's a feeling of helplessness too, because as you're watching that unfold, you're going, you know, until you get to the bottom of it, until all of the chaos slows down, you can't really get a grasp on anything, what's going to happen and what the fallout's going to be and what the reactions are going to be. But you can see the devastation on the screen, and it's the worst feeling in the world to feel that helpless devastation. And you're just sitting there going, what do I do? You know, who can I help because of the fact that we're so far away, but yet it affects all of us.
Yeah, it was just, I want to say it was almost numb. Like I'm watching it and you're seeing it happen, but I just remember thinking this can't be real.
It
seems surreal. It just seemed
it made you realize the significance of it right away.
Yeah.
Because there was other disasters, and I'm not talking about natural disasters. I'm talking about these type of tragedies. And I don't think it had the significance, you know, like that impact that it has on this country ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you watch the news, you see what went on in, you know, when I was a kid, you watch what went on in like Beirut and Lebanon, or you see attacks in other countries, and it doesn't have that same impact until you start to see it happening on your soil. And you're like, oh, man, this is what those other countries are going through or have gone through. Even in Paris or London. You know, there would be bombings and attacks, and you would look at it and go, oh, man, that sucks. But you don't think about it the same way until it starts to happen.
Yeah, so I guess it's our bad. We didn't even start the show with that. But just obviously it's the anniversary of 9/11 and the devastation. And obviously we all feel like, you know, the main thing is never forget and always keep that in your mind, because there were a lot of people that day that lost loved ones. Friends, family members, and innocent people were killed, and you don't want to ever let that just, you know, go by the wayside without the remembrance there.
Hector said, Barry, how many jobs did you have? I feel like you had 50 different industries. Oh, Hector, I was in IT at the time, so that was one of my main industries or jobs. I just worked for different companies in IT, so that's why it seems like I had 50 different jobs. I didn't actually have 50 different. Well, maybe I did.
Well, how long were you at Supercuts?
I never worked at Supercuts.
I was just checking. I thought that was one of the 50.
If there's anybody having issues with the stream, I'm going to look at it and get right back to you guys on that. So.
Professor Nick will be on that. I'm on the fact that I want to tell you right now about the people at Texas Can Academies, because there's a lot of kids in the Houston area that are trying to get a second chance at their education, and they're falling short because they're short on resources. And because of this great program, those resources are provided so the kids can focus on their studies. It's all because of people like you. If you've got a car collecting rust or dust, and it's in your driveway, it's in your garage, it's somewhere where you need to get rid of it. It might not even be be working anymore, but you don't want to pay money to get it off your property, especially if it's just soaking up money by sitting there. The tow truck is completely free. The tow is absolutely part of it. All you got to do is pick up the phone. You call 713-225-4226 or log on to carsforkids.org. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you. They tow it away. You get a tax deduction. They do all the paperwork. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You also get a $50 gift card. That's where the process really begins, because your donation is turned into resources so that these kids can focus on their studies. Things like warm meals, book money, bus fare, eyeglasses. If they don't have them, those are distractions that can really hinder their chances of finishing their education. But if they do have them, they can focus on the books and they can get ahead. That's what this program is all about. So again, I ask you to please consider donating. 713-225-4226. Log on to carsforkids.org. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5
FM.
I see your dirty face hide behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God. Justice by the way you live a lie, live a lie, live a lie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the second half hour, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Nick, Barry, Joel, present and accounted for. Glad to have you along for the ride as we're just getting started. You know how we do it. We break the ice and then we go skating along on thin ice until we get to 4 o'clock. So we're here for you.
Hey, let's do a giveaway. Let's give away some WWE live tickets. Ooh. A pair of tickets, no less. Toyota Center is excited to welcome back WWE Live. Win a pair of tickets to WWE Live Saturday, September 15th. See AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, 2018 Royal Rumble winner Shinsuke Nakamura.
That ain't easy right there.
Second Samoa Joe, United States Champion Jeff Hardy. United States Champion, is that like the Intercontinental Champion? Where it's just like, okay, we've got to give
Nick's
someone a belt.
Nick's focused on giving away a pair.
Yeah.
he didn't get to that far yet.
New Day. Who is New Day? Charlotte Flair and many more. I feel like it's not Charlotte Flair. It's probably not the right. Anyways, tickets start at $20 at the box office or online at HoustonToyotaCenter.com. Don't miss WWE in Houston this September. Win those tickets, and you're also entered into the Florida Football Friday Grand Prize. You can win a trip to Amelia Island in Jacksonville, Florida, courtesy of Florida's First Coast of Golf. Let's do this giveaway, 713-780-3776. We'll take caller number 10, 713-780-3776. Two tickets to WWE Live here in September. Good luck. Enjoy. There you go.
That was well done.
You know, that Shinsuke Nakamura, I thought I was going to really eat it on that one. I did not.
Well, you Granado now?
That's why I was
you
telling
that
you
that comes with an egg roll? Is that what you were going to say next?
No.
Freaking
no.
Male wrestler, female but wrestler.
Why I was like, hey, bring us back, because I was looking at the names going, sheesh. But we did it. We powered through. So one of the things that I think I've told this story before, but this was one year after 9/11. So when 9/11 happened, it was shortly after it that I started traveling, and which made it really difficult to do for work. And then on the 1 year anniversary, I was on the road in Florida with a buddy of mine named Tom Gulch, and we worked together. He's a coworker, but he was a friend too. And we were riding in our in the rent car to go eat somewhere, and this song came on the radio, and it was the saddest thing. We're both grown ass men, and this song comes on, and it's called Heaven. And it's originally, you were saying Bryan Adams, right? I guess this is the original one that recorded it. Mm-hmm. But this is on the 1 year anniversary of 9/11. And it's a little girl talking to her daddy who died in 9/11. And we're both, like, I don't even have kids. He's got kids. I don't have kids. We're both driving to this restaurant to go try alligator for the first time, crying our eyes out because of this song. Like, just, we're not saying anything. just bawling. And then, so every year on 9/11, I listen to this song and cry. I mean, it's a sad song. And now it's to the point where they went back at 5 years and added to the song. And then 10 years, they had this same little girl talk to her dad on the 1 year, 5 year, and 10 year anniversary of 9/11. It's the most gut-wrenching, sad thing. I'm going to tweet out the whole song. We're going to play like just maybe the first 60 seconds of it. Get ready, though. I'll be surprised, especially with Joel with a daughter. This is tough, but this is something that I feel like it's sad and it's a good remembrance, but it's also fascinating to hear this little girl in 5 years and in 10 years, the sadness never goes away, as you would expect. Like it's just the different things that she talks to her father about, but my God, it's gut-wrenching, man. This is it.
It's been a year, Daddy. I really, really miss you. Mommy says you're safe now in a beautiful place called heaven.
Oh, thinking about our younger years.
We had your favorite dinner tonight.
That was only you and me.
And I ate it all.
We're young and wild and free.
Even though I don't like carrots.
Now nothing can take you away from me.
I learned how to swim this summer.
And down that road before.
And I can't even open my
That's
eyes.
That's over now.
When I'm underwater.
Can make a man back for more.
Can you see me? You see me? You see me? I miss you, Daddy.
Baby, you're all that I want. And you're lying here in my arms. Finding it hard to believe we're in heaven.
Yeah, now see, that's tough. And then she does a 5 year, and then they have it. So I don't know, like, if there was a 15, but boy.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, I listen to all that.
Man, it's tough. Yeah.
You're right. I visualize Taylor saying all those things.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, have it. Because I'm not going to lie. I mean, there are so many times where you're in the car or something and you're just thinking, if anything ever happened to her.
Yeah.
If anything, you know, and then you start realizing, but what happened? Something happened to you.
Yeah.
It's
somebody's mad because we played that. Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing, dude. You have to remember that we're remembering her. We're remembering her father. Like, this is, that was the whole point of the song.
What, on the text line?
Yeah. They were like, oh, you're playing something that somebody doesn't want to be sad. Somebody doesn't want to be sad right now. I'm sorry, but we can't change what happened on this date 17 years ago. But you play the song honor and remember that.
We just got done saying, never forget. Always remember. Yeah. Always take a step back. You know, Lisa was saying today, she got home and she was just, you could just tell. The wind was out of her sails.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, it's got to be the fact that sitting in that studio today and remembering, you know, what she had been through and the reporting the news every night and then, you know, honoring the anniversary. And it really does. It literally sucks the life out of you because you think about all the people affected.
Yeah, if you want to hear the whole song, it's a sad but a poignant tribute too. But I tweeted it out if you want to, at Barry is Funny, if you want to listen to the whole thing, because it's three something minutes long, probably too long to play in a segment. But yeah, man, it's one of those. Every year I go back. I don't know why, but I go back and I listen to this song because for me it was one of those things on the 1 year anniversary when I heard it. It helped put everything in perspective. Mm-hmm. The sad part of it and the fact that, you know, this little girl's life goes on and she remembers her dad and she's in 5 and 10 years later she still talks to him. So yeah, man.
Yeah,
sad.
Just very, very, very tough day. And again, that's the main issue here for us is to make sure that everybody doesn't just go on with their day as planned. And they do take a little time to remember the fact that that was a day that changed so many lives and it changed our country forever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it really did.
We'll move on. But definitely something that we felt that was very important to do today. Texans, by the way, worked out offensive tackles Chris Clark, Austin Howard, and Cornelius Lucas today.
Chris Clark again?
Yeah, I was going to say. Been there, done that. But that tells you a little bit more about injuries from last week and how long that they might linger. So Texans looking for some depth in the offensive line right now.
Yeah, they're going to need some help. But I just don't know that all the quality offensive linemen that you could have gotten. We talked about this in the offseason. They sat around and they didn't go after some of these names. And now it's just going to be, you know, bubblegum and duct tape. The worst thing that could have happened to this offensive line was injuries. And the first thing that happens, injury to your starting left tackle, who wasn't a great starting left tackle, but it was, I mean, this offensive line was better than it was last year, or at least it was looking like it was going to be. And this injury, I think now it's just kind of back to square one almost.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, again, the line didn't look stellar as it was, and we knew that it was going to be an issue going into the season. But in week one, to suffer an injury, to set yourself back even further, yeah, very worrisome. And no matter who you find at this point in the season, you're not going to find someone that's going to step in and be starter quality.
Chris Clark.
Oof. Jeez. Now, the only good news, I say this obviously not wishing injury upon anyone, but the only good news for Texans fans with the home opener is that there's a chance Mariota doesn't play this week.
Right.
Because of the fact that he got hurt in the Miami game. So we'll see what happens and if that affects Tennessee at all.
Speaking of, a couple other news and notes from around the NFL. Wide receiver Will Fuller was a game time decision in week one. So that makes Bill O'Brien a bit more optimistic that he'll be able to play in week two because he was so close to being able to start. Jeremy Hill, running back for the New England Patriots, was diagnosed with a torn ACL.
In the Texans game,
yeah. Out for the season. Yep. Green Bay Packers Aaron Rodgers, yet to receive a diagnosis on his week one injury. They are still collecting all the information on his specific situation, according to Mike McCarthy. I think we tried yesterday.
Yeah, we tried and couldn't get Dr. Chow, who was very busy, the former San Diego Chargers team doctor, but he is going to stand by, and we'll probably hit him up at the 2 o'clock hour, yeah, get him to get us some information on a couple of injuries in the NFL.
Couple more things. Leonard Fournette, minor hamstring ailment in week one, according to Doug Marrone, so it sounds like nothing major there, at least. Delanie Walker, out for the year, expected to miss all of 2018. Marquise Goodwin had a thigh injury, is considered day-to-day for the Niners. And Tyler Eifert fully practiced yesterday, so it looks like he'll be back. That's a fantasy implication,
yeah,
right there.
For sure.
And then I found this to be a little bit interesting. Here's a name we talked about yesterday. But wide receivers Braxton Miller, Reggie Davis, and Dorn Miller were signed to the Eagles practice squad yesterday.
Well, good for Braxton Miller. Yeah. I mean, you don't ever want to see anybody lose their job. Obviously, it was a decision that the Texans felt like they had to make. But he's obviously, you know, a pretty solid football player, you know, going from quarterback to wide receiver. And maybe the Eagles see something that they think they can work with.
Also, Seahawks wide receiver Doug Baldwin suffered a grade 2 MCL tear in week one, according to a source, which was already bad enough. I had him on my damn fantasy team. And
he was questionable for week one.
Yeah, he was like, well, I'm not 100%. Well, first of all, don't say anything. Shh. Doug, please, you're running it. Don't tell him you're not ready to go, because then no one's going to cover you. And then he goes out and gets a grade 2 MCL tear, so that's not good. And then finally, Joe Mixon, running back for the Bengals, could receive up to 22 carries in future games, according to Marvin Lewis. And it looks like, and boy, if you watched it, he's got some skills.
Yeah, he's good.
Take away all the off-the-field stuff that's taking place, but the kid can run the ball. So you're going to see them, Marvin Lewis and the Bengals, increase his workload.
One other thing, too, and this is sad as well, from Adam Schefter reporting, Carolina Panthers tight end Greg Olsen refractured his right foot against the Cowboys. There are no plans for surgery at this time. He does hope to be able to play at some point again this season.
Almost drafted
that's
him.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Almost drafted him.
Yeah, that is not good. By the way, Adam Schefter, I did not know that story. His wife is remarried to Adam Schefter. She was married to a gentleman that was killed in 9/11, in the tower attacks in 9/11.
Wow.
Yeah, he writes a whole book about it. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, there's someone that was obviously affected by 9/11 as well.
Yep.
So,
All right, I've got more text. We'll do that on the other side, though. But right now, I want to tell you guys about Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Man, 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they are located. Guys, if you have not been out there yet, I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what else to tell you. The food out there is second to none. I mean, it's one of the best restaurants in the city, in my humble opinion. And don't just take my word for it. Every single listener that has gone out there and either had lunch on the weekend or dinner during the week after work or gotten a drink or whatever it is has got back to me on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, tagged me on a picture and said, dude, it was as good as you said it was. In fact, a lot of folks said, man, I thought you may have hyped it up too much. I was a little worried it wouldn't live up to the hype, and it absolutely did. I'm telling you, the food is that good. And what I love about Cowboys and Indians is that diverse menu. Maybe you're in the food in the mood one day for Indian food, and you want to go that route. Maybe a week later, you just want to get a good hamburger. You can do that as well. That's the beauty of this fusion restaurant. Southern comfort food, Indian food, all-in-one menu, and you can eat healthy. They've got that option, too, if that's your thing. Some of the best buttered chicken in Houston. One of the best burgers in Houston. Now, this is me saying this, not any ratings or reviews. But that Himalayan Heat burger, ooh, outstanding, man. You need to put that on your must-try burgers. And I think you'll find it's one of the best in the city. Wing sliders, all kinds of options for you. Here's my go-to, all right? A lot of people ask me, what do I eat, man? I don't know. There's so much stuff on the menu. This is my go-to meal when I go to Cowboys and Indians. Get the non-quesadillas. Tell them you listen to The Usual Suspects and Barry said hello. They'll give you 20% off the non-quesadillas. Get that Himalayan Heat burger, get the 65 sauce on the side, and then get the red velvet cake to go because you're going to be stuffed and you're not going to be able to eat it when you're there. That's my go-to meal. I know you're going to love it when you do that. Don't forget full service bar. Every Wednesday is trivia night, so you can get down on that as well, and you can have Cowboys and Indians delivered to your door via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI713 on Facebook and Twitter. Guys, whatever you do, take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects, Joel, Barry, and Nick. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can call us. You can tweet us. Use the same number, 713-780-ESPN. That's 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. A lot of you were hitting me up about that song that we played, that 9/11 tribute song, and thanking me. Outside of the one idiot that said he didn't want to be sad today, hey, I'm sorry, but it's a tragic day in our country's history, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. But everybody else, I think, enjoyed and at least understood the point of the song. One more time, if you want that, I've tweeted it out, at Barry's Funny, if you want to hear the full song itself. Back to the text line. Did you watch the game yesterday, Nicholas, at all?
Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The late game?
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to see Marshawn Lynch's picture?
I missed that
one. High school picture.
Yeah. Somebody said, did y'all see Beast Mode's high school photo they showed during the game? That was from the text line. Dude, I didn't even recognize that it was, first of all, because I'm so used to seeing him with his pirate mustache, because it looks like a pirate. It looks like Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Kind
of. So I'm not used to not seeing him in that. And then to see the responses that he got on Twitter for that, if you haven't seen it, you should, I mean, just Google Marshawn Lynch high school picture and you'll find it. It's everywhere. But people were roasting that dude.
But he looked studious. I mean, he looked really clean.
Yeah.
As opposed to the dreads now and the goatee and the whole work.
He looked, yeah. People were like, oh man, that's Twitter versus LinkedIn. Like, people were saying Marshawn Lynch went from I'll bring her back by 9 to she calls me daddy now. There were people that were saying Marshawn Lynch today versus high school, he looks like an IT worker. Easy now. No, we don't all look nerdy like that.
That was job 51.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Marshawn Lynch and I have cable. Hi, I'm Marshawn Lynch and I have DirecTV.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. Let's see, where else was it? Dang it, where'd it go? Oh, he looks like an accountant. And then, yeah, lots of Marshawn Lynch looks like he's going to come over to your house and fix your computer. A director of IT. They just, you knew, though, as soon as they put that up, I was like, ooh, one, Twitter's about to go crazy. Two, I wonder if he's going to be pissed about that. He seems like, I know he seems like a mean dude, but if you've ever watched some of his shows, like his reality show and stuff, he's pretty laid back. He's pretty chill. He just doesn't like the media.
Yeah, and he was.
Yeah, he's one of those introverted guys. It's very, right. Very true. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, but I remember one of my favorite interviews is when he was like getting fined. That year he was getting fined left and right. And then he finally does an interview with Deion Sanders, and he's just like, man, we love you, man. We love Beast Mode. Yeah. We love Beast Mode. And he was just like, he really didn't want to do the interview.
Because you remember at Super Bowl, it was, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yep.
And no matter what they asked him, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I'll tweet this out, but oof, it honestly looked nothing
nope.
like him at all. But yeah, that was good stuff. I remember I was doing something on the computer, and then I heard everybody laughing, and I was like, what are they laughing at on the TV? And then I was like, oh my gosh, first of all, that's funny. Second of all, they're all going to get their ass whooped by Marshawn Lynch for making fun of it. I wouldn't have said nothing. You got to see them in the hallway in the tunnel below.
And the other thing was, if you watch that game and you realize, because everybody was giving Marcus Peters hell because they thought he was imitating, making fun of Beast Mode, those dudes are super tight. If you remember in the past when Peters was with the Chiefs and they played that, remember Lynch went out on the field to stop Peters from getting in a fight, even though he was on the other team, and he got punished because of it, disciplined. Those guys are like thick as thieves. They are tight, tight, tight. So he did it to pay homage to Marshawn Lynch, even though it also helped the Rams win the game.
Yeah. By the way, several people, so I posted an article on Sports Map. It was the 32 teams ranked by hate ability.
Okay. It was outstanding, by the way.
I knew you were going to do that as soon as I brought it up.
I enjoyed it, except for the fact where you had my team.
Do you disagree? So I'll give you the bottom five and the top five, and then I'll let you guys just go to sportsmap.com if you want to read it. So the least hated team that I had was the Cleveland Browns. Was I off base on that?
Pretty accurate after Hard Knocks.
Kind of with you on that one.
All right. And the second least hated was the Chiefs. I don't think anybody really hates the Chiefs.
I don't. I actually like Andy Reid. And I don't want them to ever be
like... That's exactly what I said. Like, I gave a reason why, like, you know, why they landed or why I ranked them where I ranked them. And I had the Chiefs 31st. I said the Chiefs fans are really nice, and Andy Reid seems like everyone's favorite uncle.
The only possibility is something in the division. Just because, you know, everybody within the division.
But keep in mind, like, I'm not talking about that. That's something you have to take out. I'm talking in general across the country.
I'm just saying that when you say who hates the Chiefs, I'd say someone in the division.
Right, Raiders fan or Broncos fan is going to hate the Chiefs. Right. That's going to be, of course.
Right.
But you have to take into account everybody else. So that's what I did.
There's a quarterback in Washington that doesn't like him a whole lot.
No?
No.
You think? At the third least hateable team was the Buffalo Bills. And then fourth was the Seahawks, and fifth was the Bears.
I disagree with the Seahawks wholeheartedly.
You think people hate the Seahawks?
A lot of people hate the Seahawks.
Really?
Yeah.
So I
not
did
just
say,
in Green Bay.
I said that the departure of Richard Sherman moved them up on the list because a lot of people hated Richard Sherman. But I also said, of course, some people don't like Pete Carroll. Those people
Pete
are a-holes.
Carroll,
I
saw the whole that. Legion of Boom, the fact that they were all very cocky, very vocal. It
but
doesn't
gone,
matter.
But and
that's
Russell
why,
Wilson is still
but that
there.
Sticks
everyone
with people.
Loves, but everyone loves Russell Wilson.
That lingers with people.
Richard Sherman's gone. Everyone loves Russell Wilson. And Pete Carroll's, some people love him, some people hate him.
Russell Wilson went to a finer institution of higher learning.
All right, so you disagree with. All right, so my five.
Who was after the Seahawks? The Bears?
Hey, I disagree with you on the Bears.
Completely disagree.
Well, the reason I said they were 28th is sweetness, the refrigerator, and the Super Bowl shuffle made everybody a Bears fan, despite Jim McMahon being a tool.
That's the only one I disagree with. Everything else I'm okay with. Okay. That's the only one I disagree with.
You think
with.
The Bears should be further down?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
People hate the Bears.
The one thing about all the teams that were stacked at the top is they kind of had a history of losing more than winning in recent years. Right. Which is why
they
I think people don't really hate on losers.
They were kind of next to the Browns in terms of all the quarterbacks.
Yes.
When they were rolling
through
quarterbacks.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, Brian Urlacher was there, and that was it. And that was the only thing they had going for them. Nobody really hates on a team like that. You feel sorry for them, sure, but hey.
Did it cross your mind a little bit when you talk about numbers with the Chicago Bears when Khalil Mack took the field the other night and you realize 50, Mike Singletary, 51, Dick Butkus, 52, Khalil Mack. You want to talk about a succession of numbers with Hall of Fame implications?
Yeah.
It's pretty outstanding.
Yeah, that did not cross my mind.
Yeah.
All right, the top five that I had on the list, number five, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The reason I said everyone hates winners, and this franchise has done plenty of that. Big Ben off the field didn't help, but Mike Tomlin seems like a good dude, so this could be worse. That was number five. Number four was the Redskins. Dan Gilbert's a D-bag, plus the name is offensive to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the Cowboys. The reason I gave
That's low.
I see. I struggled, but you'll see. Number three, I said two words, Michael Irvin. Two more words, Dez Bryant. Last two words, fan base.
Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I forgot. That's a good point. Damn it. I've screwed that up.
I told you to send your article to me before you send it in.
Number two on the list, the Eagles. Their fans booed a baby and called an old lady the C word.
And had a courtroom in their previous stadium.
And if that wasn't enough, Jim McMahon played there for 3 years. And the number one, obviously, the Patriots. And I gave all the reasons why. Coach, owner, QB, the bro at tight end, the cheating, the winning, the success, the fans. All reasons why everyone except Bostonians hate the Patriots. So
very true.
Okay. Yep. So you do agree with my any issues in that five, in that order? Pittsburgh five, Washington four, Dallas three,
I think the
three,
Cowboys
Philly
are
two.
The second most hated team. I think
Cowboys,
are,
Cowboys and Patriots are 1-2.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's enough. Just my...
Fair enough. So you would flip
but
the Eagles.
But you had them in the top five, so...
You would flip the Eagles and the Cowboys?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. All right,
and I definitely appreciate the fact that at the end of the article, you said Packers were America's team, and I thought that was accurate, too. It's fantastic.
And then, where did I have the Packers rated?
It was...
23rd on the list.
That's fair.
Starting, so the higher the number, the less hated. So
people
not bad.
Hate the Bengals, the Giants, the Chargers, the Jets, Lions, all more than the Packers.
I would think so, yeah.
Why Bengals, would you hate the Bengals? I guess Bengals more? Because of all the bad boys.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that era.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, all of the, yeah, people
Pac-Man
like the
Jones
Raiders.
Is gone now, but you had Pac-Man.
Well, that's exactly what I said.
Perfect. You got.
I said Boomer Esiason was easy to hate, but so was Pac-Man Jones and all the legal problems the Bengals had over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yep. All right, go check it out, sportsmap.com.
Definitely.
I spent some time on that.
Did you?
Go read the damn thing.
Normally those things just don't fire it off in 5-10 minutes don't. With you.
My wife was like, what are you doing? I was like, trying to come up with a reason to hate half of these teams. Because most of them, it's like, no one. I almost should have just put no one cares, no one cares, no one cares for a bunch of them. Because really, no
That's
one cares.
That's kind
of
true.
No one cares about the Dolphins. Literally, outside in Miami, no one cares about the Dolphins. So, yeah.
Lance Ford says on Twitter, not everyone loves Russell Wilson. The Seahawks gained a lot of young bandwagon fans that are hella annoying. I would agree with that as well.
Well, you used hella, so your argument's invalid.
I didn't. He did.
I know. That's
I'm
what
just
I'm
reading
saying.
It.
He used
yeah, but
hella.
I agree with him. So there, I'll take over for him, and my argument's valid. There you go. All right, we got one in the books, two still to go. The big show. Don't go anywhere, as we got 120 minutes on the clock, and you should be a part of it. We'll be back with hour number two in just minutes. Don't go anywhere. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.